Whether you want your dog to come, heal, or sit, it's the Tip Top Canine Podcast, and you know what time is it. Right, Tip Top Nation. My name is Clay Clark. I am the former United States Small Business Administration Entrepreneur of the Year and the host of the Thrive Time Show radio show and podcast. It is my honor to be here today with the founder of Tip Top Canine, and we're going to get into the four most commonly asked questions. So, Ryan, welcome to the show, and I am super excited to have you break down the knowledge here that we don't get in college.
Absolutely, man. I am glad to be here.
So here's question number one. These are questions that potential clients would ask you.
Right.
What age is the best to start training my dog?
Well, we normally start around 4 to 6 months old. A lot of people will train anywhere 8 to 10 weeks old, but dogs are really out of the puppy stage at about 21 weeks old, which is 5.5 months.
What?
Yep.
So, Marshall, have you ever thought about buying a dog?
I've thought about buying a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what's held you back? What's kept you from moving forward with that passion?
I don't want the responsibility or the responsibility of taking care of a dog.
A lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of responsibility. I just, like, you got to feed it.
Yeah, every day.
But multiple times a day.
Right.
And then you got to train it.
And spend time with it.
And spend time with it.
So let's just assume that our listeners out there are passionate about dogs. They're just saying, I want to move forward with the dog. I'm willing to feed the dog, to be with the dog, to take the dog on walks. But this dog is just eating my soul. It's eating my stuff. It's going to the bathroom where I don't want it to go. And every time I open the door, it runs away.
That's so common. That happens all the time, man.
So what's the best age to start? Give us the knowledge.
Well, we normally start to meet the dogs around 4 months old. Like my personal dogs, I normally don't actually start them until 5 to 6 months old.
And so what type of food, if I give my dog to you and say, hey, please train my dog, what kind of food are you going to feed my dog?
Well, right now I feed Acana, but we also feed Taste the Wild at a lot of our boot camps. What I'm really looking for is a grain-free food.
Why?
Because dogs are really carnivores, and so if you get some of the food that's full of rice and corn and stuff that they're not actually going to digest, not actually going to benefit them, then it's just filler, and they just use the restroom a whole lot.
So you're saying that if I'm out there listening and I want to get my dog some good dog food,
right?
What are you recommending?
I would recommend Blue Buffalo Wilderness, Acana. Origin's the best, but it's about $95 a bag right now.
How much a bag?
$95 for not even a 30-pound bag. So it's pretty expensive.
How long does that last?
Depending on the dog, 2 to 3 weeks normally.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
That's incredible.
But we just had a client, and their dog was on Kibbles and Bits, which just had a recall because it had phenobarbital in it, which is what they use to put down dogs.
Mm. How did it get that in it?
Obviously, they have a meat and bone meal in it, which is a very vague ingredient, which means any type of meat and any type of bone.
Mm. So
yeah, it's crazy.
That I have nothing really
truth
to say,
cannon.
But
truth
it's a podcast.
Yeah. Oh man!
So we need to say something.
You need a good dog food. This dog is at our boot camp, and it's like throwing up all the time. And we're like, hey, do you care if we change its food? I think it's getting sick, and we look at what it's eating. And I was like, what are you actually feeding? And they're feeding Kibbles and Bits.
Everybody that's listening right now, we're just looking at each other is this a real thing?
Yeah, this is real. You look it up. Kibbles and Bits recall 2018, and it'll show
Turn
you.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit. Okay, so now the next question is human-grade pet food. This is the one that I want to know about because I had a client I worked with helped her launch her business.
Yeah.
And she sold human-grade pet food, meaning that every meal she fed her dog was like $7.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
Wow. Yeah, if you can afford it, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it that much better?
Well, here's the thing. You're either going to pay in medical bills long-term, or you're going to feed your dog good food because everything's it's the same as humans. If you eat McDonald's every day, which Marshall's actually McDonald's right now, but
it's so good.
Yeah, so some of these dog foods are like a lower grade McDonald's almost, and you're either going to pay for it in good food right now, or you're going to pay for it in health problems later, the same as humans, Marshall.
Oh, ouch. So you're saying I need to switch to Origin dog food.
Oh, wow. Every time we do one of these podcasts, I find myself blown away with the knowledge. Okay, so should I harness a dog or should I get a collar for the dog? What's the move here?
We definitely want to get a collar. So this is definitely one of our most asked questions. And a lot of people put a harness on the dog because they're like, oh, I don't want the dog to choke or anything like that. But the harness really gets us not near as much control. And if people think about it, sled dogs wear harnesses. So if you're trying to fix pulling and you put a harness on the dog, sled dogs wear harnesses, not a good fit. The collar, if I control the dog's head, I can actually control their whole body. Using a harness would be similar if you were, say, working with a horse, if you're horse training, right?
Right.
And you were to put a harness on a horse and try to control them from their hips instead of control their head, which moves their whole body, it wouldn't work, right? And it's the same with a dog. It's just because the dog's smaller, people think they can manipulate the dog with a harness, and to some point they can, but as far as like actual training and control, the collar gives us a whole lot more control.
Are you saying that the incredible poet, philosopher, that the really kind of the leading thinker of our time, Shakira, might not be accurate with her statement, the hips don't lie? Like, you can't lead a horse by its hips? You don't know what to do with that one. Okay, that's fine. He wants to be vanilla. He doesn't want to take a strong stance on anything. That's fine. We'll move on. Okay, so next question is, should I get a chain leash or a flexi leash, and what kind of leash? So get into the leashes here, my friend.
Yeah, so the leash is really important too. The flexi lead is the devil, right? I hate the flexi leads. So I can take a really strong stance on that.
What is a flexi lead?
So a flexi lead is, it's this little plastic box, and when the dog pulls, it gives more leash out to like 20 or 25 feet, right? And so
I've been using one on my kids lately. It's
yeah,
it's a great tool. Yeah. I didn't realize you couldn't use it for dog. I won't use it for dog. I'll just use it for home use.
Yeah, home use only. Yeah, and so what it does is actually teach the dog that the more they pull, the more distance they get to go smell stuff and do stuff. So it's actually the opposite of what we want to do with obedience training. Obedience training, I want to teach the dog to not pull. So just by buying the flexi lead, which is everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
The dog learns, hey, the harder I pull, sometimes I get to go sniff or smell whatever I want to do.
Did you call it the flexi lead?
Yes. Or a retractable leash.
Okay, so the flexi lead, or I'm going to put this on the show notes, or a retractable leash.
Yeah,
okay.
We do not want that.
Is
throw it away.
The devil, notable, quotable. Yeah.
Now, you would say that the flexi lead is is to dogs what the shake weight is to humans.
Worthless. Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow. Nice. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I would want a 6-foot, preferably 1/2-inch leather leash, right? Leather instead of nylon. Nylon's going to be a little cheaper, but it's going to rope burn your hands when you're training the dogs to start with. We get a lot of people with chain leashes because they're like, oh, my dog's chewing through the other leashes.
Ah.
Well. That doesn't actually, getting the chain leash doesn't teach your dog not to chew on the leashes. It just gives you a weird, bulky leash. That's not actually going to work for obedience training.
To quote the late Snoop, the incredible philosopher and rapper, Snoop Dogg, bow to the wow. You know, this is just something. Yeah. It's a nice segue, bow to the wow. Now, if you're out there listening and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I want to get my dog trained by these guys. You can schedule your first lesson for only
$1.
Whoa, only $1. Nope. And if you're saying, you know what, I hate my job. I really hate my job. In fact, I have a good job, but I hate it. Or I just want to own my own business. Or I want to have time freedom. You can actually buy a tip-top canine business in your own city. You can get your own tip-top canine. They have a system that it's a turnkey system. It works. And literally, your only responsibility that you have to do is to train the dogs and teach people how to train the dogs, because they do the phone center for you. They have a call center. They do all the marketing. They do all the training. And it's just going to require you to commit to hundreds of hours of training one time to learn that skill. And if you want to learn more about it, just go to tiptopcanine.com today, fill out the form, and tell them you'd like to know more information about buying a tip-top canine location. And pretty soon, you can be pulling in gross revenue of close to $15,000 to $20,000 a week, and you're making a good net profit. Now, we can't say we're going to make a certain specific profit, because some people out there are really good at budgeting, and you might train the dogs yourself, and so you might make a 50% profit. Somebody else might be out there, and you want to delegate everything, and you don't want to do anything at all. But anyway, if you want to own a tip-top canine business, get the details today by going to tiptopcanine.com. My name's Clay Clark. That's Ryan. That's Marshall. And I want to ask our videographer and our coacher. He's a business coach and a coder. Andrew, do you have any questions for the dog whisperer here? Because there's got to be a lot of dog questions swirling around in your mind. What is the tough, hard-hitting dog question you have for Ryan before we end this incredible podcast?
If I was to own a dog, how often should I walk the dog?
That is a good question. Woo! So I would. So first off, everyone in America, in the United States, they don't walk their dog enough. Mm. No dog gets exercise enough, basically, that we see, except for maybe some of our trainer dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or the dogs that are in boot camp. So if you could walk the dog every day, 20, 30 minutes a day, that would be perfect, right? At least 20, 30 minutes a day.
I have a health tip, too. I think you would want to walk yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We see people do the, do the four-wheeler move or the golf cart move to walk their dog.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
All right, my name's Clay Clark. That's Ryan Wimpy. And stay tuned for another edition of the Tip Top Canine Podcast.